What is up? My name is Kevin Wu, and I'm an online fitness coach who helps men in their 20s lose weight and get abs for the first time through mindset, nutrition, and training. That's enough about me. Let's get right into today's episode. Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Lived Inspired Podcast. Today is Tuesday. That means I hop on a Zoom call with my clients. We're talking about super veggies, test boosters, foods for vegetables, foods for road trips, how to swap proteins out, and also how to gauge your progress in a bulk or cut. Let's go dive right in. Let's go dive into the first one itself. It's going to be more like super veggies or vegetables. You can balance certain things out. I'm going to go with the kind of the top of the list down kind of below itself. I'm going to say number one is going to be spinach, and more, this is like a pure gram for gram and how much vitamins and what it kind of provides itself. Spinach is rich in like iron, calcium, vitamins A and K, can help support bone health, clotting, and immune function. In that sense, it's probably one of the best kind of super veggies. In that sense, I personally, when I was using a lot of spinach, would either be with my eggs itself, just like, because I don't really like eating spinach myself, or I just blend it up like a protein shake, so I don't really kind of taste it, and just kind of chug it down just for the nutrients. It wasn't just like more the volume or anything like that. Second would be broccoli, a lot of fiber, vitamin C, antioxidants. That's a big one. Also can help digestion, which is pretty cool, boosting immune system and supporting heart health. Third is kale, a lot of vitamin A, C, and a K in that sense. Can also help promote like eye health, strengthen immune system, provide antioxidants. I used to blend a lot of kale up too as well, alongside with my spinach, kind of like get them all down. I personally like to air fry my broccoli and actually enjoy eating it. Like remember before when I just bought like fresh broccoli and just boiled it and ate it like that. I fucking hated it. It was disgusting. Then I found out about air frying it. I just get like the frozen ones. I just microwave in 5 minutes. Have like a whole big stash in my fridge. And then when I do kind of eat them, I air fry them with like my chicken breast. Also with broccoli. It has like a nice little char and it tastes so much better. All right. Next could be bell peppers, which is like surprising itself. It's very high in vitamin C. It's probably one of the highest ones itself. And also can help with collagen synthesis. Five is going to be carrots, loaded with beta carotene, eye health, promoting healthy complexion of skin, and help in digestion. Last but not least in this list is going to be Brussels sprouts. Now, also, a lot of vegetables are great, but this is going to be the top six in this aspect. Brussels sprouts are very rich in vitamin C, K, fiber, and can contribute to heart health and support digestion too as well. All right, so next is going to be supplements that kind of help with testosterone if you have lower levels. In that sense, oh yeah, welcome Tim, welcome Vivo over here, welcome joining back. Now, supplements, kind of like testosterone booster supplements, are very popular. I remember I used to work in a supplement store called GNC for a couple of years, and a lot of people come in asking for the testosterone kind of boosters. Most people don't really know what they kind of do, if they're very effective, what to really look for. They just look at the shiny bottle, it's like, that one looks cool, let's go get that one, right? But it all breaks down to ingredients. And also, if you have like lower T levels, testosterone levels, they could possibly kind of help it out. But if you especially get your blood work done, it's more on the higher end of the rep range itself, not the rep, I don't know what I call rep range, end of the natural range, it won't really do anything. But if you are on the lower levels itself, then it could definitely kind of help. And especially when you pair some of them together. So the coupling of list together is going to be D-aspartic acid. It's a DAA. It's basically amino acid, now playing a role in synthesis testosterone, basically making that one. And DAA supplementation can help increase testosterone levels, especially people with lower ends, with lower levels. Now, vitamin D is actually a really, really big one itself for actually making testosterone itself. And that's one that people don't really get that much of, especially in more like Canada or like colder kind of climates. Or let's say if you're not outside for that long too as well, because you have to keep in mind, if you are outside and you're like covered up, like let's say you're wearing long shirts or shirts themselves, you're not going to be absorbing as much as, let's say, you're wearing a mouth shirt or kind of less clothing because it's directly on the skin and that kind of aspect. So I do put pretty much vitamin D in a lot of guys' plan itself. And even if you get, let's say, the adequate amounts and you supplement with it, because it's like, what, $6 and you get a whole year's supply. And if you over, let's say, do it in there, there's no really negative kind of consequences over there, right? So it's more of like insurance policy to actually make sure you get that. And it's one of the cheapest ones. And also, it can, vitamin D is also known to help, like, prevent, was it, like mood regulations in that sense, where it's like vitamin D is very directly linked to the sun in that sense. And people who don't really get a lot of sun usually have chronically lower or more depression in that sense. And that's one of the biggest thing that people with depression actually get prescribed. It's just like going for walks or vitamin D in that aspect, because it's a big hormone regulator. All right. Third is zinc. So zinc is actually a pretty cool one.
an essential to help build that testosterone. And this is actually really popular in itself. Probably I'd say top two, I'd say, itself. That aspect of actually helping kind of testosterone, this aspect. And it's one of the cheaper ones too as well. Next up is going to be ashwagandha. I personally use this one. It's actually really more known for reducing stress. And this aspect, I use it before kind of bed. And with the lower kind of stress, it can help with the boosting testosterone levels when you do have lower kind of stress kind of levels overall, right? Now, fenugreek is one they kind of dabbled on with kind of before. And this one may kind of help it, but also decrease kind of the estrogen in your body. And if you have too much estrogen, that's more of the female hormone. It can make you a little more watery in that sense. And when you have an imbalance of that, it's not great, right? So fenugreek is one that kind of dabbled with before. I personally definitely didn't really kind of feel or notice anything that one. But vitamin D is a really crucial one I do all the time. Ashwagandha is another one I personally do all the time itself. So those are probably my top two itself. That aspect, I mean, well, zinc actually, I would say zinc and ashwagandha are top two. Vitamin D is just the one that I just kind of recommend for everybody just to, you know, it's really cheap. It's also pretty much if you take more than it, it's than necessary. It's not going to do anything in terms of harm-wise. All right. So once again, testosterone boosters usually have a mix of all this or more stuff like that on top of that one. If you guys want to pretty much look at some of the things over here, I could pretty much kind of list them or kind of shoot them to you if you want to kind of dabble into those ones, pause, kind of look there. But most people itself, I wouldn't really do kind of much unless you got your blood work done itself and you notice your testosterone levels were on the lower end, like mine were, especially after my kind of first show itself. That's when I really started looking more at these kind of supplements. And I did notice a little bit of boost right when I started taking a whole bunch of them itself after my first show. All right, so staying dedicated to your diet when you have a busy schedule. Now, I do want to talk about some low testosterone kind of symptoms itself, because I personally didn't get my blood work done until like after my first show, like 5 months kind of after. And it wasn't really until, it was weird, because I know being pretty much when I did my very first show, I was 18. And obviously, all the 18-year-olds have a very high sex drive, also can experience a lot of like other things too as well. But for me itself, I never really had like a sex drive at all, right? And it was weird in that kind of aspect. I just like talked to my friends, they were just like all horny shit. Besides the point, I didn't experience any of that stuff. Also, like I just kind of felt fatigued all the time. It's in that kind of aspect, a lot more tired, definitely take more naps, just lower kind of energy levels, lower sex drive, some other stuff, like I guess like not getting the morning wet as much, very often. Just kind of those stuff and being open, transparent. And so just like, I guess hearing other people just talk about their kind of situation being around my age, I was like, okay, maybe something is kind of wrong in this aspect, because no one felt like how I kind of felt. I actually got a text and my testosterone levels were like the average of like a 70-year-old, which is pretty bad, right? And then after I found out pretty much I had sleep apnea too as well, which is another contributing factor to my low testosterone levels. And before in that kind of range, and that's when I, one, got my sleep kind of fixed itself with a CPAP machine or kind of mouth taping I do now. I don't use a CPAP machine anymore because I have really narrow airways. And that's what I found out. Like, literally how I found out was pretty funny, because like my brother was like, yeah, because I was snoring loud. He was like, you sound like you're dying when you're sleeping. Because I have like really long pauses. And then, yeah, he's like, I should get a sleep study. So I did that. Then I had really bad sleep apnea. So I got that fixed, which helped with my testosterone wise. Also, I dabbled with some of these ones over here, with the ashwagandha, the fenugreek, the vitamin D. I tried diaspartic acid too as well. But yeah, I definitely kind of helped in that sense. I got my blood work done a couple months later and definitely kind of helped though. All right. So that's kind of helped me out to that aspect, but I did have lower testosterone levels. I definitely helped you out too as well. All right. So staying dedicated to your diet when you have a busy schedule, what does that exactly look like? Now, it actually should be easier, especially if you packed all your meals, because you won't be bored eating or emotionally eating, but rather have all your meals and you're packed and eating according to the plan itself, right? So you must meal prep and pack your meals though. The problem is a lot of people go struggle to stick to your diet is because of like emotional eating or just like bored eating or snacking. If you're busy all the time, you won't actually have time or mental capacity to do so. So it actually should be easier to actually stick to that diet in that sense, given that, let's just say you did meal prep, or those like you packed your meals for the day, you pretty much cook those potatoes in bulk, cook your rice in bulk, you cook vegetables in bulk, and you have those and cook meats in bulk, and you just have them to go throughout the day, right? So, because I especially noticed that it was really, really easy in that sense, kind of stick a track, maybe I have to eat my foods cold, or maybe I have to really shove some things down to really get it in. But most of you guys are pretty much trying to cut down. It's that sense, right? So you're not trying to actually bulk up or slam a whole bunch of meals in. So it should be even easier in that kind of sense to actually follow that kind of protocol. Because if you guys are trying to gain weight and sometimes at the force feed itself, you might have to, like, you know, I had to personally pack a couple shakes. Like, I'd pack like 3 shakes a day. I would call it gainer shakes. A lot of like oatmeal, protein powder, peanut butter, whole milk itself, and just like whole meals too as well. Because sometimes I couldn't eat, just slammed them down. But if you actually, most of you guys are trying to cut down itself, it should be a lot easier given that you actually pack your meals, because you won't have the time to mostly to board it or just snack itself in that sense, because you're so busy focusing on other things and having a busy schedule. So with that sense, definitely make sure that you pack your meals, but also your meal prepping. It's been number one kind of key in that kind of aspect. Now, I personally, especially when I worked 5 jobs at one time itself, I would always pack the night before. So all the meals, like right before I go to sleep, I would pack all my like 3 meals, also my 3 shakes the night before, make them all in the fridge. And in the morning, I just put it all in my 6-pack kind of bag and my cooler bag itself. And that aspect, or some, like, I remember I had a bag and just some ice packs because I didn't have like a big enough bag at one point. So that's how I kind of kept them cool in that sense. I would have refrigerators at some of my jobs. Some of them I didn't, so I just had the ice packs kind of hold it over. All right, foods for road trips to hit goals. So a lot of people seem to be traveling. That's why I've noticed a big trend right now. I was doing a lot of traveling itself for the summer too as well. I went on a road trip literally yesterday, and I pretty much just packed the same meals as I'm warming them up at gas stations or eat cold. Like yesterday, I just ate my meals cold. It's actually not that bad, but most of you guys might not want to do that itself. But some things you could actually do, like, let's just say, like, I can eat rice cold. Well, I can, but like I really don't want to. So I'd replace that with like potatoes and the same amount of calories. It's like 150 calories worth of rice. I just replace that with 150 calories of potatoes, like sweet potatoes, because I can actually eat that cold and taste much better. In that sense, I just won't pretty much eat rice cold in that way. But there's also a lot of other foods too as well. I'll just break down the notes I pretty much kind of took in over here. Drop in the chat as well for you guys to get some ideas, because this will be kind of running over. So put them in the chat box down below. Jerky, like beef jerky, beef turkey, or chicken jerky itself can be a great way for like protein source with no refrigeration, easily packed itself. This is one of my go-to things, especially get them at gas stations. Or I recommend you get them at like a Costco, just get a big ass bag, because I know gas station ones can be a lot more expensive. But as like a last resort itself, you don't have a meal, gas stations everywhere, and just grab one of these. It's a great source, can hold you over, get just lean protein. Make sure to look for the no sugar added ones, because I know a lot of ones can just slam a hot bunch of sugar, a lot of fats. You want to look for the lean ones. Now, protein bars can be great too as well. Just kind of like hold you over a lot better than just having like a Quaker or some trail mix in that sense. Now, 3 is hard-boiled eggs. I've actually never tried a hard-boiled egg in my life, but I know a lot of people like this stuff, so that's something you can bring. Greek yogurt cups is something that is really quick and convenient. I've seen a lot of people pack these ones. They like the little pre-chilled ones and little packs. You get like 6 packs of them, 8 packs, or you just get like a big container and just put them in like a meal prep container itself and just kind of bring that over there. I personally like the Greek yogurts and also protein powder mix, so that's what I'd personally kind of do over there in that aspect, especially on the road gym or something like that. Canned tuna or chicken, those ones are a thing too as well. I personally not too big fan of the tuna or the canned chicken itself in that kind of aspect, but that's kind of what you can go down. Or deli meat like ham, roast beef itself. Those ones are like very popular in like cold sandwiches. Like you probably see them all the time. People have like bread, just like ham, the roast beef, and people eat them cold all the time. I personally like to warm them up still, but that's me. All right, protein shakes, definitely fairly obvious because they don't really go bad. You just bring the protein powder with you. You could mix water, almond milk, or whatever like that, or whatever the fuck you want, and you are good, right? So it helps make sure you get that protein shake. Protein plus oats, like protein powder plus oatmeal itself. You could do just like the oats and put some water or almond milk and protein powder. You mix it in there, and it's almost like overnight oats. You want to let it soak in for like 3 or 4 hours at least, or 2 hours. I think eat it, because you eat it right away, it's probably not very great. Protein pancakes is something I used to bring a lot itself. I'd make it in the morning, like the half banana, 50 grams of oats, egg whites in that kind of aspect. And then I just kind of pan fry those, and then they wouldn't go bad either. Right, so it's a very nice way to kind of get that in. Or protein French toast, similar kind of thing, where I grab egg whites, A little egg, dip the and protein powder, mix that in, like the egg whites and the protein powder, and a little cinnamon, some Splenda if you want to make it sweeter, stevia, and you dip like the toast itself in there, and you pan fry each end, and you cut them up this little small bites, and doesn't go bad either, right? So a lot of people, there's a lot of options in that kind of sense to actually kind of hold you up for road trips. I personally eat my same meals itself. That's what I did yesterday. That's what I did a week before when I was gone for like 2 days. And that's pretty much what I do more so when I'm like hardcore dieting, I'd say, right? Especially right now in my show, I want to make sure I'm getting my exact same meals, right? For you guys can use some of these other options itself, bring some other things on that kind of aspect, can definitely help you out. All right, so guidelines on how to swap proteins. Now, I'm going to be sharing my screen shortly too, just kind of show you because you guys have a macro cheat sheet on your meal plan section. So it's really easy, but you got to use MyFitnessPal, or I'm going to share my screen over here so you guys can see this one. All right, let me go pull up the photo over here. All right, there you go. Awesome. So sharing my screen right over here. Things not. There you go. Awesome. All right. So I plopped this one pretty much on all of your things on your pretty much the sections of the meal plan. This is basically the macro cheat sheet. It's very simple, right? So whatever protein you do have, right? Let's say it's chicken breast. You could swap out 180 grams of chicken breast for 180 grams of egg whites, 180 grams of scallops, 180 grams of bison. I wouldn't do 180 grams of whey protein. It's not the same. 100 grams, 80 grams of extra lean ground beef. Or you guys could use my MyFitnessPal, let's say your chicken breast for it, like the calories. I don't know, 200 grams is 180 calories. That's my personal one. So you guys could swap out pretty much like the equivalent amount of protein to give. So my chicken breast is 100 calories, 80 calories gives me 40 grams of protein. So I'm going to type in basically shrimp and see how many grams I would need to get to 40 grams of protein. It might be like, I don't know, 150, 210 or something like that. But easiest way is just look at this list. Okay, what do I want to swap out? My chicken breast, maybe I'm sick of that. I am going to do 180 grams of extra lean ground beef or something like that, right? Or something else on this time list. That's the most simple and easy way in this kind of aspect for swapping out proteins over here. So hopefully that kind of makes sense. Super straightforward, super simple. Shouldn't be kind of any questions on that. All right, so back to topic over here in this kind of aspect about... Next one, how to gauge progress when trying to bulk up. Now, this could also be applied basically to cutting down because a lot of people just focus on the scale, and that is a huge mistake, right? Either when you're bulking up or trying to lose weight. So there's a couple other ways that are much kind of better in this side of things or kind of help contribute to make a more accurate decision or kind of see if you're actually making the right progress. The right progress is if you're bulking up, am I getting too much fat now? Or if I'm cutting down, am I, you know, not losing fat? Or maybe I'm losing fat and gaining muscle and my scales are staying the same and lean muscular, right? So I'm going to say number one is body measurements. So keeping track of like your things like your chest, your waist, your hips, thighs can help on this aspect. Now, the only one I really kind of would do itself and keep on more of a regular basis, if anything, would be the waist, right? Because the waist is the biggest one to tell if you're gaining more fat than anything. So if you're gaining a lot of weight, or you're bulking up and you notice your waist measurement goes up itself and more rapidly, then that is definitely an indication you're getting a lot more fat rather than muscle itself. And if you guys are cutting down itself and you guys are, let's say, staying the same weight and you notice your waist measurement went down like 2 inches, well, that's a really good indication you're losing fat because your waist is where pretty much your most of your fat kind of is held. And that's the biggest indicator in terms of like what if what your body is kind of indicating, right? So that is the one I would do itself if you guys wanted to go that kind of route, and it's really satisfying. I remember my clients when did in-person training itself, seeing that waist measurement kind of go down, people get really, really happy, and you get a measuring tape for like $2, something like that. You literally just hold it over your belly button and you can wrap it around your waist and make sure it's nice and tight, right? So you want to do that every single time in that aspect over there. Now, something that you can do. Also, I would say second is the body weight. It can be a useful tool, but it's important to consider that weight alone doesn't picture, like, you know, have that whole picture itself, because either if you're losing weight or bulking up, sometimes you can be losing fat, gaining muscle at the same time. So your scale's not really moving as much, but you notice like your photo or your body composition is changing. And in a bulk, in that kind of sense, if you just notice, you know, pretty much your weight scale going up, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm just getting muscle, right? I gained 5 pounds in a week. That's not all muscle. I can promise you that, right? So that scale alone, people kind of tend to dictate and focus on too much. I would say photos is probably one of the best things in body fat percentage. That leads to the next point. Photos is, that's something you compare week to week or bi-weekly itself. This is why I get you to take photos every single week. You want to take at the same time, so fasted before you eat any foods, and the same spot and same lighting, because if you change spots, change lightings itself, then it could look a lot different, right? So you want to keep all the variables the same, especially fasted too as well. Because 1 week you ate food and then the next week you didn't, or 1 week you drank like a liter of water and took your photos and the next week you didn't. You were like, oh man, like I feel bloated this week. Oh man, my stomach's descended this week, right? But in reality, you know, you just ate some food, you drank some water before you took the photos. So you guys want to make sure you keep the variables the same. I personally do this pretty much every third day right about now, just because I guess I'm leaner, and pretty much I'm seeing more changes, smaller ones, because I'm at a stage where I'm very, very lean. Every pound I do lose, I see a little more changes, and I'm really keeping a close eye on that one. All right, so body fat percentage is something that can definitely kind of help out. Now, you can always ask your local gym if they have like a machine that checks body fat. Pretty much almost all of them will do have one. All the gyms I worked at, all the gyms I've been to always have one. Just most people don't know about it, and you have access to that one if you just ask in that kind of regards, right? So with that being said, it's not going to be 100% accurate. Most of them probably around like 3 to 4% inaccuracy. But the best thing is if you use the same machine, it's going to give you a trend, right? So if you're at like 25% body fat this month itself, the next month you go in and it says 22%, you know it's going downwards. Use the same machine in that kind of aspect. But if you one machine from one gym, next gym, it might not be so accurate, right? Because you want to keep the variables the same once again. And that's what I recommend itself. Now, one other measure that can actually help out in not more of like a body kind of measurement is just strength and performance, right? So if you're focusing on tracking like your performance and your lifts and all that sense, when you guys are going to gym, tracking your workouts, and you guys do notice, you know, your reps are going up, your weight's going up itself and all those lifts and that kind of sense, that's a good indication you are building muscle too as well, right? And well, you're definitely getting stronger and you're probably building muscle as a result of that, right? So that is a good kind of indication kind of over time, even if your weight scale is not really moving as much as you would like, right? Now, with that being said, that is pretty much all of the topics covered on the training today. This aspect, I am going to end.
Thank you guys for tuning into the Live to Inspire podcast, the number one podcast for men in their 20s trying to lose weight and get abs the first time. My mission is to inspire others to be the best version of themselves through fitness. So if you guys are tuning into this episode and want to lose weight and get your abs showing for the very first time, then DM me the words abs on Instagram at KevinWu_. That is KevinWu_. And we'll have a chat whether or not I can help you out lose that weight to get your abs showing for the first time. That is the ending of today's episode of the Live to Inspire podcast. If you learned something today, then make sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss out on an episode. Also, if you leave a written review on this podcast, that'd be greatly appreciated because that pushes this podcast to more people just like you.